Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sunrays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tare, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is the D Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along to the D Word. Pleasure to have you company again. This week I welcome back an old friend. Kevin Quaid was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia when he was 53. He's now approaching his 61st birthday, and I'm delighted to say he's still going strong. A best-selling author, a tireless campaigner, and now newly appointed chair of the European Working Group for People Living with Dementia. Kevin, it's brilliant to welcome you back to the show. You know what? Last time we talked was November 2021. I cannot believe how long ago it was. And, you know, so much has happened since then, and you've been up to a lot, haven't you?
I have. I can't believe it's since 2021. You know, I remember a number of years ago, Peter, when I was in probably 4 or 5 years diagnosed, I said I want to be 60, and I'm 61 this year, and still going. But since I spoke to you last, I suppose good things that have happened there along the road are I became chair of the Irish Dementia Working Group for the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. I got a presidential award from Longford College. Last year, I got an honorary doctorate from Longford and Rushford College. Only last week, I got a position of chair of the European Working Group for People with Dementia for Alzheimer's Europe, which automatically means I'm on the board of Alzheimer's Europe, which hopefully my voice that's loud and clear will be heard in Europe for all of us. And like, we don't consider Brexit in Europe. People with dementia are people with dementia, and thanks be to God we have English people with us. And our last chair, Chris Roberts, he was actually from Wales, was, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants here. But it's such an honour, I never thought I'd get to this stage. And for my sins, I wrote a second book called I Am Kevin McLewy, which has gone down very well. And for my sins, for a man that said he'd never again write a book after his first one, I'm on my third one. And I hope to have it out by Christmas. I'll let you know in time. But it's called Can You Hear Me, Lewy? And I couldn't think of a name for it. And I had a lot of stuff written, but I couldn't get a name. And until you have a name, you can't address it, if that makes sense. And the reason that I said, can you hear me, Lewy, will probably make sense when I tell you it's all got to do with my hearing. Now, the book itself is about arts, is about music, we wrote a song. Two of us have had Alzheimer's, and one of us, I do about dementia, which is being released, and you'll hear it in the UK on the 1st of August, and there's a video which is called Who Will We Tell? The title of it came from that great, I think it was an Englishman, Sir Terry Pratchett. And when he got diagnosed with Alzheimer's, his PA said to him, Who will we tell? And Terry said, we're going to tell everyone. And I just thought, oh, it was brilliant. So we were at a music therapy class. And within 2 hours, we basically had a song written. And the first line of the song is, a photo captures a moment in time with a lifetime of memories. And that's a quote that I made up for one of my last books. So I was triply thrilled to have that in the song. But when you hear the song, I think you might curse me and some of your audience, because it's one of these earworms. When you hear it in the morning, you're still humming it at 6 o'clock in the evening. So that's you wrote on the 1st of August. But I just want to come back, I suppose, something I would never have thought about. And about 15, maybe 20 years ago, I got a job as a project manager. Ever before I went to Australia, here in Ireland, and part of the job as project manager was to have a medical. And I had the job started and I went for the medical as a formality, thinking there was nothing whatsoever wrong with me. And I remember that time that the guy that did the medical said to me, I had my hearing checked, you see, and he said to me, just keep an eye on your hearing because it's not 100%. But I thought no more about it. Until about 12 months ago, I was doing a talk in the Lexicon in Dunleary in Dublin, beautiful part of the world. And there was this lovely girl there by the name of Sarah Crimmins. She was from a company called Healing Hearing here in Ireland. They're actually in the UK as well. And she said, did you ever get your hearing checked? And like that was like a flashback. I thought to my man, and I said, actually, the funny thing about it was that I was told about 15 years ago. So she said, why don't you come in? It's free. So I went in and I got my hearing checked. And I had no idea how bad my hearing was, because like everything with people with a kind of what I call slow burning dementia, and with my Lewy bodies to slow burning, your hearing goes at such a slow pace that you don't realize it. But you're gone from 22 on the television up to 42 on the television, and you just don't realize you've been done because it's over weeks, months, years, or whatever. I got my hearing aids in. I couldn't believe it. Because some of your listeners might know, and for listeners who have Lewy body dementia, they probably will identify with this, that if you're inside in a quiet space, a quiet room, and there's absolutely no noise, the noise that comes into your head is horrific. It is just so soul-destroying. But if you put on background noise like radio or television or something, that goes. Lo and behold, I got my hearing aids. I put him in first thing in the morning. And I always remember a lovely gentleman by the name of Jim who checked out my hearing and said, what my hearing aids. He said, they're no good sitting in the charger. You have to put them in every morning. It's the first thing I do every morning after I wash myself. I put them in. And they play a little tune as you put them into your ears. And it's like, you know the saying, music to my ears. Well, it literally is. But I find myself now getting up in the morning. And if Helena, my wife, is not here, and the radio's on, I turned it off instead of turning it on. And I'll open the window, or I'll open the door, and I'll hear the birds singing. I might listen to the wind, might listen to the rain. I never thought, for a man that doesn't like rain in Ireland, I never thought I'd love the sound of the rain off the roof. But I was missing all of that. And like everything in life, I suppose, it got me thinking. I had become very, very, very socially withdrawn. Family gatherings, weddings, and that. I said, no, I'm not going no more. And I remember, I said, I thought, look, there's just too many people there, and I just don't enjoy it. But it's like going in, getting checked for blood pressure. You get blood pressure tablets. But they weren't looking at the root cause. And I wasn't looking at the root cause. The root cause was, I'd be talking to someone, and you would say, sorry, could you repeat that? Sorry, could you repeat that? And you'd say, huh? What? And that gets embarrassing. So then, subconsciously, I suppose, I was learning devices or ways of coping with this. So if you're telling me a story, it was a funny story, I'd be there, and I'm nodding my head and I'm smiling away, not having the foggiest idea what you were saying. Or then if you're telling me a sad story, I'd be there, like, looking down and out and doom, you know, and I kind of shaking my head or nodding my head, not having a clue what you were saying. And being a good, typical Irishman, I like a pint. And I used to love to go, say, at 8 or 9 o'clock and have a couple of drinks and meet the lads. But I was finding the noise in the pub was just a bit too much. So I found myself going out at 3 or 4 o'clock and there'd be one or two in the pub that I could sit right next to or even know one in the pub. I was even enjoying it more when it was just a barman and myself. And you know, it was happening to me without I actually realizing it. And when I realized it, I kept my mouth shut. I didn't even say it to Helena. And I can see why people will become socially withdrawn because of the very things I'm after saying. And it has a massive effect in your life because you'd meet people in the street. Oh, Kevin, I didn't see you in ages. Are you okay? Were you in hospital or whatever? And I'd be lying to them. No, I wasn't out. And, you know, I went off to drink for a while and I was busy or I was at a meeting. The truth of the matter was I was sitting at home and I was going to bed at 5:30 in the evening, depressed out of my head because I couldn't do this anymore. Local GAA games and sport is very big to me and my family. And local GAA games, my neighbour and myself used to go. There'd be only a couple of hundred people at it. And I used to love the local GAA games. Wouldn't go because of the noise. It's all changed. I love going to games now. I have no problem going into a crowded pub. I have no problem with conversations. I was at a fabulous function last Friday. There was 450 people at it. We had a brilliant day. I can have a one-to-one conversation. I can be involved in a group conversation. Every now and again, I might say, what did you say? And I just go joking and say, look, I have hearing aids. You know, taco. And, you know, I don't ever take myself too seriously. I take my advocacy work too seriously. But that is one major difference it has made.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
My guest on the podcast this week is Kevin Quaid, who's found out what a difference hearing checks have made to his symptoms of Lewy body dementia.
Well, I suppose the biggest difference of all would be, and again, people with Lewy body dementia, and probably other types of dementias, but especially Lewy body dementia, and you'll probably recall me saying this before, how horrific my nightmares were. And I mean horrific. I'd wake up crying in the middle of the night. I wouldn't know who I was. I wouldn't know where I was. I wouldn't know even who my wife was. That has been reduced by 90%. Minimum. Now, it's not that I wear the hearing aids at night. So when my day is finished, just before I go to bed, I put on my iPhone and I have some background music or background noise. I take off my hearing aids, I put them into our little chargers, and I go to bed. And as I said, 90% of the time now, I dream. Sometimes I've dreams that aren't that nice, but the horrific nightmares, probably three in the last 6 or 7 months. But since I got my hearing aids, I have never, and this is 12 months, woken up, not knowing who I am, not knowing where I am, understanding that it is a dream, knowing who's in the bed next to me, and not afraid to get up and go to the bathroom because it was a dream. That is life-changing. And like I've often said, in a fight against dementia, we lose and lose and lose slowly. But this is one thing that you can gain back, 100% gain back. And I would say to anyone, whether you have dementia, or whether you're a carer, or whether you're just an ordinary person, once you get the age of 40, get your hearing checked. Because 8% of people with dementia, according to a Lancet report, have hearing loss, suffer from hearing loss. I hate the word suffer, but they have hearing loss. And if you can capture hearing loss, and it's been proved in a study called SenseCog, if you can capture hearing loss early enough in the time, it may, and I stress the word may, reduce your chances of getting dementia. Like, that is massive. Because I know in the UK that it was in 2022, dementia was the biggest killer. And I mean, when you think about that, it's frightening. Like, and that's why I'm so glad to be in Europe and to be able to raise a voice for all of Europe. And like, I love using the UK as an example. It is not good enough that this is happening. I mean, with COVID-19, and it was all over the world and it was taken serious, and they got a vaccine within 2 years. And I've got to speak to Europe a couple of times, and I said, we're doing our job, but you're not 2 years. I mean, 20 years, and they're now coming up with some form of a tablet for very young onset, right? I sound ungrateful. I'm not. It's a step. This step should have been made years ago, and they should be taking dementia a lot more serious. And I can assure you that I will be using my voice when I get there to tell them, sure that they do. But like, the company here in Ireland, Hidden Hearing, are the same in the UK. And the one thing I love about them is that they're actually in 25 countries all over the world under different, not under different names, but they're under a massive group. They're 14,000 staff employed. They're called, I think it's AUDIKA or DAKA, Europe and Australia. There's Hearing Life in America and Canada. And I'm pleading with people, go and get the test. Two things are going to happen. You're going to be taught your hearing is perfect, and you're going to be taught you need hearing aids. And if you need hearing aids, your life is going to change. And you see, this is why programs like yours are so important. You're not listening to a doctor or an audiologist or a caregiver saying that it probably works. It does work. My dad is 83 years of age. And my uncle said to me, you know, he was getting his hearing aids, and my uncle said to me one day, he said, will you, for God's sake, get your father in hearing aids? And I said, why so? He said, I took him for a drink the other night. And I said to him, the weather is very bad, isn't it? And he turned around and said to me, ah, don't worry, we'll beat Clare in the football, all right. But he has them now at 83, and he had two strokes 11 years ago. And his balance has got better. I use a walking stick all the time. I still take it with me just in case, but I know myself that sometimes I just hold it by my side. I don't even put it on the ground. My balance has improved as a result of it. So it's massively important. And like, it's something that I'm advocating for, and it's something I'm going to advocate for loud and clear. And I hope people will listen to this. And I hope there's GPs and there's neurologists listening to this. If a person goes in and gets a diagnosis today, there's two things. You get your diagnosis at 11 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it is, and you come out half an hour later. You are still the exact same person. Only that thing that has been keeping you awake at night, that the Alzheimer's, Lewy bodies, frontotemporal vascular, whatever type of dementia, now there's an end. But I think where the fall down is, and where we can get a lot more done, a lot more achieved, is that, say, in 2 weeks' time, it doesn't have to be the neurologist. It could be a member of their team. It could be their secretary. Hi, Kevin. It's such and such one from the neurology office. You were in with us 2 weeks ago. You were given a diagnosis of Lewy body dementia. How are you doing with it? But it's important to ask for the person themselves. And I'd say, I don't want to know about it. I don't want to talk about it. Then that's okay. Can I give you a ring in 2 weeks' time? And keep following up every 2 weeks until that, yeah, look, I'm coming to terms with this. But the person that says, yeah, look, I don't like the fact that I have it, but at least I have it. I think there and then a person should be told, right, you have your diagnosis now of, let's say in my case, Lewy body dementia. What I want you to do next is I want to get your hearing checked, get your eyesight checked, get your bloods done. We'll have a complete look at your medical history. It can be all done in within the space of a month. And we can make a proper plan going forward. Not only does it make your life easier, it makes the people who love you easier. It makes your friends' life easier. And you know what? I think it would make you be less afraid, because you'll understand it a little bit more. But being told that you have a diagnosis of a type of dementia, which drives me cuckoo when I hear that, I don't think it's fair on people. I know the care might be the same, but the medication isn't. So I think it's only proper that a person is told, you have dementia, and we're going to find out what type it is. And, you know, a bit of reassurance, and it's okay. And the more of us that speak up about it, the better it is. But I think if dim little steps were taken, what a difference it would make. You have people, and I know for a fact, in nursing homes and care home facilities, that are agitated, they're frustrated, and they're considered troublesome. They're not. There's something wrong with them. They mightn't be able to hear you. They mightn't want 2 boiled eggs at 8:30 every morning. They just mightn't. There's something bothering them. And you need to take the time. And I hear this thing about people that are non-verbal, that they can't communicate. They have a smile, they have a frown, they have eyes. And if you can connect with those, maybe they're non-verbal. They can still sing music. Music stays with everyone. Put on their favorite song and bring a smile back to their face. And they are the things we need to be looking at. Let the medicine to the medics and the politicians, and let's hope they get their act together a lot quicker than they are. But the smaller things, there's a lot we can do. Like, I would honestly say, since the last time that I was on my Lewy body dementia, you said 2021, and it's 2024 now, so roughly 3 years. I'm a Lewy body dementia-wise, I'm in a better position today than I was then. And the last 12, that's mainly because of the last 12 months and because of my hearing.
Yeah, I think it's, you know,
It's lovely to hear you say that, first of all. And I think, you know, you're absolutely right, because I had a cancer diagnosis and I had all those things that you said missing in terms of a dementia diagnosis. I had bloods done, this done, that done, the other done. This is where we're going to go. And as a patient, you suddenly think, okay, this is not what I wanted, but okay, I've got a road in front of me. Whereas, you know, what you're describing in terms of dementia, I've had a story here where someone got taken to their GP, they had a diagnosis of dementia, and it's absolutely true. The words that came from the GP is, well, when they go and dress themselves, bring them back. And I think that's just terrible, you know. Where is that support?
Exactly. It is so true. And like you said, you're never going to go anywhere when you get a diagnosis of cancer and be told to just have cancer. You're going to be told type, the stage, you know, right. Sometimes the news is going to be terrible. Sometimes the news is going to be good. You know, it's something small, it can be treated, you know. And there's a lot of success stories with cancer. But the first thing they start off with is a proper diagnosis. And they do all the checks and balances to make sure they have everything. Then they set a plan in place and going forward. And there is a lot of terrible stories there. But by the same token, there's a lot of good stories there. And you'll hear of people, I've heard of people that they were got in time, they went early enough, and they were looked after. And we need to get to that space with dementia as well. Like we, and the funny thing about it is that it's, as the stigma is being reduced, I think more and more people are being diagnosed and are beginning to talk about it, which is a good thing. It can only be a good thing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This is the D-Word Podcast. I'm Jannington, new chair of the European Working Group for People Living with Dementia, Kevin Quaid. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the other things I want, tell me a little bit, I mean, some of the things you have done, you were walking in Spain, weren't you? Tell me a bit about that.
It was. I definitely have some touches of dementia because my memory isn't great. I got a call last year from a guy called Fernando Perez. And he said, we're doing a walk. We're doing the Camino. And I always wanted to do the Camino. But I thought, no, I have a walking stick. My walk isn't great. I could do it in a wheelchair maybe. But I felt that was cheating for me. So I had a Zoom call with him. And he said, about doing the Camino. And I said, you know that I have a walking stick. Yeah, he said, I do. But he said, I want you there, and I know you can do it. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So we had 4 days walking. We got a special dispensation to do, I think, 40 kilometers. Between 30 and 40 kilometers. So what I used to do each day was I'd walk the first 2 kilometers, take a break, and I'd walk the last 2 kilometers. And you walk at your own pace. And the thing about it was, there was a group of us there. There was a full course load, so there was about 52 of us there. And the only thing we knew about when we were the first morning we went into that bus was, we all had some interest in dementia. You had neurologists, you had scientists, you had reporters, you had researchers, you had people with dementia, you had carers. That didn't matter. just all there as one group. And as the walk would go on, you'd walk on your own, you'd walk in twos, you might walk in fours. And we had such a fantastic week. But the power that brought me that week was on the last day, there was eight of us who had or who have dementia. And Fernando wanted us to walk into the cathedral in the Compostela, Santiago de Compostela. Couldn't think of it. Massive cathedral, beautiful square. And it was a wet, miserable day now. It was supposed to rain all day. And I just had to walk to talk for a dementia teacher on me. And Fernando said, you walk the first kilometre of the day and the last kilometre, because it was, I think the last day was between 5 and 6 kilometres. And I said, no. He said, what I want you at the end. I said, no. I'm starting this today. I'm finishing this today. And I'm kissing the ground when I get to the square. So we started walking anyway, and everyone said, will you, for God's sake, just do it? And I said, no. Today is the day I have to prove and push the boundaries from you. And I walked it, and I walked it, and you'd get me to sing, but trust me, you'd spend a few pounds on pints of Guinness before I'd start singing. But out and over, after about an hour into the walk, I started to sing at the top of my voice, and everyone went back along, started to join in. And we sang, and we sang, and we sang. But as we went on, and as the few hours passed, in the distance, you could begin to barely hear the bagpipes and the drums. They were faded in the distance. But every step you took, they got louder and they got louder. And it was as if they were calling you home. And it was there and then that we got the right will to go, to continue on. And as we got nearer and nearer, the fight in us got stronger and stronger and stronger. And when we got into the square, I went down on my hands and knees like this to go, and I just said, thank God, I'm stronger and I'm better than I think I am. And it's happening again this year, it's happening every year, and anyone that would like to do it, they're looking for people with dementia, they're looking for caregivers, they're looking for someone to go. It's going to grow and grow every year. It was fantastic. And there is, there was a film made about it from me and three other people who did it. And there's a program about it. There's a trailer on YouTube called Walking the Talk for Dementia. I'm not at liberty to say yet, but it's going to be a massive, massive hit when it eventually comes out, maybe next year. But I'm just not at liberty to say where it's come from. But for people with dementia, they're just going to get up and say, I want to do it. So do it now. It's another thing. Do it now. You're stronger than you think. And don't ever let a disease of any description define you. You know, if you even if you're someone that doesn't want anyone to know that you have dementia and you're sitting at home and you're wondering, could I walk? Get up, go out and walk. You know, if it's only to walk around the yard or walk around the street, and increase that every day. And when you come back, you're going to feel good about yourself. And you're going to feel, yes, I can do it. And I'm not letting this define me. And don't ever let anything define me. I don't ever let anyone define me. You know, we didn't ask for this. We didn't want it, but we were given it. So let's deal with it. And we can. And together we're powerful. Like I met this girl with us in the working group 3 years ago. Last February, 3 years ago, she was told that she had a very aggressive type of Alzheimer's, 53 years of age, give up work, give up driving, get your affairs in order, you have 6 months to live. She's vice chair of the Irish Dementia Working Group, by the way, now, and she drives to most of the meetings in Dublin, full driver's license. So, you know, the power's within yourself, not with the guy that's sitting in front of you giving you a diagnosis, because in a lot of cases, in a lot of healthcare systems, unfortunately, you're number 54 that day that they've seen him. And they don't know what they really are. And until they do, sorry, you might give me a diagnosis. The diagnosis might be right, but you don't know me or you don't know how strong I am. And I actually believe that every one of us that gets a diagnosis, and like you were saying, people, the cancer diagnosis, a dementia diagnosis, we fight. We fight, and we're the strongest people alive. We're the strongest people in the planet. That's why the voice of the lived experience is so important. That's why politicians are the people who have to listen to the voice of the lived experience, because they feel guilty that they're not doing enough. And I love it.
Well, Gavin, it's been a pleasure as always. Time's bringing us to a little bit of a close, but please keep on doing what you're doing. Good luck with your work with the European Working Party. I look forward to hearing you sing when that one comes out, and having a look at the third book as well.
I can. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Don't worry, I'll be back on to you again when I've written.
We'll absolutely be a pleasure to talk to you again. Do take care, Gavin. Thanks for being my guest.
Thanks a million, Peter. A pleasure.
A photo captures a moment in time and a lifetime of memories. It helps me remember thoughts forgotten, reflections of what used to be. We've developed a negative of black and white, turning our life into color. Filled with joy and happiness, a life that's a whole lot fuller. Able to make new connections. Our memories may fade, but emotion stays. They help us with our recollections. With friends we know, we have so bold. Our new journey has begun. We will never let go.
We do it still. Ooh. will tell everyone.
The Memory Lane Heroes with Carl Gagorin and the Irish World Academy NASC Choir, featuring this week's guests, Kevin Quaid, and We Will Tell Everyone. Thanks to Kevin, always a pleasure to chat to him, and thanks also to Carl Gagorin for making We Will Tell Everyone available. The song is on all the major streaming platforms, and there are also details on the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland website at alzheimer.ie. Well, that's it for this edition. Hope you enjoyed it, and you'll join me again soon for some more Dementia Talk here on The D Word.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.